You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
How can you tell that you are a Christian? How can you tell for yourself? And how can you tell others?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father too, in faith and love, help us to be true sons and daughters of yours, showing our faith in true love, genuine and free, like your love and grace toward us in Jesus our Savior. Amen. How can you tell that you are a Christian? How can you tell for yourself? And how can you tell others? There are a number of tests that you can take and pass in order to answer that question. There are doctrinal tests, historical tests, and even denominational tests. The most practical of them all, however, is one you can see for yourself and others can see in you. That's what St. Paul called the final test. First, he said, comes love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Only one person in the whole history of the world could write his name into those words that I just read and say, that means me. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would have been the last man in the whole world to write his name into anything except the salvation of the world. Humility was his nature, and the salvation of humanity was his mission. My food, he said, is to do the will of him that sent me. With his humility in that mission of dying for the sins of the world, Jesus Christ could write his name into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians as the perfect human example St. Paul was talking about. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's Jesus Christ, described to a T. The rest of us have to work at it. Everyone else is always on the way. The practical evidence that you are a Christian is that you are on this way, working at it, getting better at it all the time. First comes love, said St. Paul. Finally, love is the test of everything. You can say all the right things, but without love, all of it turns out to be meaningless. You can do all the right things, but without love, actions turn out to be ashes. You can have the right position, the right stance, the right arguments, the right church, and the right everything, but without love, what does it mean? St. Paul said, it doesn't mean a thing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. This is the test of Christian faith, of Christian action, of Christian preaching and teaching, of Christian everything. The apostles of Christ all said this. By this we know that we belong to him, said St. John, that we love one another. That's something you can see in yourself, and it's something that others can see in you. If you don't have any of this, said St. Paul, you're nothing. Though I have the gift of prophecy and proclamation, and though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith to remove mountains and have not this, I'm nothing. The gift of gab is not a proof of Christian faith. Preachers who are eloquent are not automatically Christian. Neither exotic languages nor inspired preaching prove faith in themselves. Here, good impressions and even good intentions are not enough. God is not impressed with good intentions. And people cannot be satisfied with good impressions. Eventually, it becomes clear to everyone. Without love for God and love for people, preaching and teaching, no matter how Christian they may be or pretend to be, are worth very little. Spiritual and intellectual abilities or gifts are not sufficient evidences of real Christian faith. Such gifts or abilities can be used in various ways, to help or to destroy. They are being used in both ways, and often have been used by people as evidence that they are Christians, when actually they prove the very opposite. Often this is evident to everybody but themselves, and yet they go on in the sublime conviction that they are acting as Christians when actually they are proving the very opposite to everyone with two eyes to see and two ears to hear. Sacrificial acts do not automatically validate the doer as a Christian. Unselfish and even heroic steps in helping the poor or the dying are impressive and significant, but they are not automatic evidence of Christian faith. Sacrificial acts done for Christ are a thing of the heart, not looking for praise or even notice. Only God knows the motives of the heart. Christian people who act out of love are not puffed up, do not seek their own. They are not out to get something for themselves. And they are willing to accept whatever their actions may bring, even misunderstanding and disapproval. In this case, love conquers all, even the temptation to boast of one's own accomplishments. Contemporary life is full of people who act on the basis of deep convictions. But those convictions have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Love for God or even for man is not in them. People in the modern world have been known to immolate themselves, that is, to burn themselves up in order to demonstrate for a cause. Without love for God or for people, such actions are like a body without life, machinery without power, form without substance. It is, as St. Paul said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. God loves. It surprises people to hear this. It does not surprise them that he is just, although his justice often goes deeper than our stumbling comprehension can follow it. It always surprises people that God loves. They can't see how he could be just and love the world at the same time. Either he is just or he loves, but he cannot do both. What you see in Jesus Christ is both the justice and the love of God. In Jesus Christ, everybody can see how the justice of God works. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. In Jesus Christ, everybody can see how the love of God works. For the sake of his son, Jesus Christ, who died, the loving God forgives people who do not deserve forgiveness. To make that forgiveness sure and real for everyone to see, the loving God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. In his resurrection, there's forgiveness and life for everyone because he died for everyone. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ was all love. Firm as a rock, He was all love. He responded in love to crowds of people, as he did in the Sermon on the Mount, and also to individual people, as he did to the woman at the well. Men and women, children and adults, felt his loving touch. The common people heard him gladly, while religious people often did not. His words were healing and life because they were given to people in love. People who needed help were not turned away. And people who wanted to make a business out of religion got a hard word. My father's house is a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. In love and out of love, Jesus Christ communicated with people. In love and out of love, he was wise. The parables are marvelous stories in simple words that anybody can understand, telling of the grace of his Father who reaches out to people in spite of themselves and loves people though they are unlovable. The miracles of Jesus Christ demonstrate his power, even while his person is the picture of human poverty. His teaching and his actions were geared to helping. Instead of impressive profundities, his talk was about God and God's kingdom, about human sin and divine forgiveness, about helping one another as God reaches out to help us, about death and how it becomes life through faith in God and in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. All of it and every bit of it enveloped by the love of God, which everyone can see in his Son and the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. In love and out of love, Jesus Christ gave himself for the life of the world. His great effort to help others ended for himself in sacrifice and death. There's really nothing noble in that scene. It's all blood and brutality. His self-giving was not just a demonstration. It was a spectacle. It was his cross. There's no comeliness in him that we should desire him, said the prophet of the Messiah to come. And that's the way it worked out, on his cross. But God validated that great act of his, done altogether in love for his Father and out of love for everyone else. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that love is real. And it also proves that the love of the Father is real. To such an extent did God love the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone who believes in Jesus is a Christian. Everyone who believes in Jesus and accepts the forgiveness of God for the sake of his Son, Jesus, who died for our sins and raised again from the dead with power, is a Christian. Everyone who believes in Jesus is learning all the time how to love. It's the first evidence, and also the final evidence, that somebody's a Christian. He or she loves. Without that evidence, all the other evidence is worthless. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and don't have this, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. All through the New Testament, this is the story of what it takes to be a Christian. By and large, the wise man, the scribe, the debater, and the religious star do not come off very well in the picture and profile of a real Christian. Anybody who's boasting about his accomplishments, or even about the gifts with which he has been endowed by the Holy Spirit, does not come off very well. Ordinary people who go in true faith to seek and to serve Jesus Christ, that is to say, learning the way of love and living by it, come off as the chosen of God, forgiven and forgiving, loving and living as if they were going to live forever. St. Paul has got news for all of us. Followers and disciples of Jesus Christ will live forever. Love never ends. It never fails. Whether it is the love of God in Jesus Christ or the love of people who have learned to love at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Love for God, for Christ, and for others around you never fails and never ends. It is the first and the last. A thing of joy from beginning to end. It is love like his, who for the joy set before him endured a cross, forgetting the shame. And now look at him. He sits at the right hand of the majesty of God, forever and ever. Amen.